This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, July 13, 2022. The Memorial of Emperor St. Henry by Father William Doc Holliday.
I will show thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requireth of thee. Verily to do judgment, to love mercy, and to walk solicitous with thy God. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These words from the first reading today put in a nutshell what God wants of us. He says it specifically. I will show thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requireth of thee. Not suggests of thee, but what he requires of us. We have to appreciate the fact that, I point out quite frequently, God is much more particular than we tend to believe he is. He is particular. He does want certain things. He demands certain things. He requires certain things. And he gives us every chance to do these things. But every chance when we don't take it, we don't take advantage of the chances, when we are ingracious over what our Lord gives us, the consequences are sure. He lets us know that. It's not a matter of threatening. When you were, most of us had good parents. You're sitting in church today, so I'm thinking that that's a good thing, that they set some kind of foundation for you. Good parents let children know what is expected of them, what parents require of them. And children, generally speaking, will abide by those guidelines because they don't want their parents to be perturbed at them. If that works here, and our parents here are just a manifestation of God's rule over us, and the acquiescing to his will that he requires of us. If we do it here, how much more should we do it there? I mean, most teenagers will even, as teenagers as can be on occasion, I was one once, I know, they'll push certain things to a certain point, but not past that point, okay? You don't want your life to be miserable. Why do we approach our Heavenly Father by pushing it past the limit on occasion? Because the consequences are much more grave with him. And there are consequences. In that reading, the first reading today from Micah, you know, our Lord is basically, he is reproving the people of Israel for their ingratitude. So I took you out of the land of Egypt with my right arm. You didn't do a thing about, and now, in a nutshell, and now you continue to grouse. And when things start to go south on you because I let you run, God's not about coming down on people, you know, dropping the hammer on them. He just steps back and goes, okay, you want to run things on your own? Go ahead. See how that works out for you. Every time the people of Israel did it, what happened? Not good things. And yet, now you're going to look at me now that chastisement is upon you of your own making. And now that you're dealing with the stuff that you're dealing with in this world as a consequence of your actions, now that this is happening, you're looking at me, oh Lord, how many sacrifices do we have to make? How many bulls do we have to kill? All this. Our Lord doesn't require that. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want that at all. I will show you what I want. The gospel tonight, that gospel from Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 and following, is, I'm thinking, bar none, one of the scariest passages of Scripture that there is, because he says, many, not a few, not some, many will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, have we not done this in your name? Have we not done that in your name? Have we not done many marvelous things in your name? And he's going to look at them, depart from me, you workers of evil. I never knew you. These people think that they're doing okay. This is our Lord giving us a heads up that we cannot approach him on our own terms. We cannot think, well, this is enough, or this is good enough, or the salad bar thing, I like this, but I don't like this part of the faith. I'm going to let that go. I'm not going to push this. The most horrendous parents on the face of this planet are the ones that I hear say, not around here, but I've heard, I'm going to let them make decisions of their faith on their own when they get it. You've been malfeasant. You've reneged the entire reason for your parent. Your parents are supposed to raise you in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You raise them in the fear of the Lord, and they will not depart from it. You lay the foundation. I'll have them make the decision. What other decision do you let your kids make? This is what our Lord is saying. You don't approach God on his own terms or on your terms. You approach him on his terms. This is the reality of our relationship with Christ. It's what he wants, what he requires of us. Those three things, and they're really simple. They're tremendously, one, to truly do judgment. Notice that to judge. This flies in the face of all this. Judge not lest ye be judged things. Truly to do judgment. It's not a matter of we don't judge. We are called to judge. Our Lord Jesus Christ specifically says, take the beam out of your own eye and then you can judge. So it's not a matter. It's about judging unrighteously. You read 1 Corinthians. St. Paul speaks of judgment. He says, it's sort of like we do just the opposite, generally speaking, because of people's lack of knowledge of Scripture. Most people say, you can judge those bad people out there on what they do, but you don't judge one another in the church. Paul says exactly the opposite. He says, you don't judge those pagans out there because they're living like pagans. They're doing what pagans are supposed to do. You don't judge that. We judge the brothers and sisters. Specifically, that's what he says. He doesn't, you take the beam out of your own eye. He said, you judge the brothers and sisters. Why? Because we're supposed to show charity one to another. And what does St. Thomas Aquinas say about love? Love is desiring the good of another. You desire the good for them. Sometimes the good for them is not necessarily pleasant. Again, the whole parent thing. Do you not take your children to the doctor and get them shots when there's something wrong with them? You take a child to the doctor, they don't know what's wrong with them. They got to do some tests that are not generally pleasant. You still take them to the doctor. Why? Because you want what's best for them. That's God. That's what he expects to do for us, for others. So that means when you have to correct an errant family member or a close personal friend, if you love them, you will do that because you want what's best for them. Not according to your own whim and will, but according to what God says. So this is what he means, truly to do judgment. Here's the second thing, to love mercy. We're to love mercy. We are to desire his mercy above all that because we like nothing better than to talk about God's mercy and his grace when it comes to us. We should want that for everybody else, but we got to know his grace and mercy. It goes hand in hand with the first thing. When we want his grace and mercy, we know what is required of his grace and mercy, so we have to let people know. This is why we're here. This is why St. Paul says, judge the brethren. I always point out, why do we always think that judgment is a negative thing? Judging things as wrong. Equally, you can judge something as being right, okay? To laud somebody for doing something good. As a parent, do you always just, is it always a matter of the only time you really pay very close attention to your kids when they do something wrong? The punishments, the grounding, I'm going to take this away from you, that from you. When your kids do good, do you go out of your way to do good for them? Here, I took away your allowance for a week because you did this. How many parents think about, hey, I think I'll double your allowances because you did good in school this week. You didn't turn around. That's not usually how we work. That's how God works. He blesses the heck out of us if we do what he wants. And that third thing, the older version, walk solicitous with thy God. We don't use that term so much, solicitous, in common parlance. It's showing interest or concern. Walk with God as if you have interest in what he wants or you have concern about what he wants. Just not walk with God. It doesn't say just walk with God. Walk solicitous with God. When we're walking our life of faith, we are supposed to walk this life of faith showing interest and concern in if what we're doing is what God wants. We do not want to wind up like Matthew chapter 7. This is that progression of thing in our life. Today's memorial, St. Henry the Confessor. St. Henry, Henry II, Holy Roman Emperor. Is that an awesome title or what? What are you? I'm the Holy Roman Emperor. And if you really know what Holy Roman Emperor was, he was the king of Italy. He was the king of Germany. He got it going on in this world, you know? Not too many people at that particular time that had more responsibility and more great things going on than the Holy Roman Emperor. Henry II was a very pious man. I mean, those kind of things, absolute power corrupts absolutely. I mean, you got to watch out for that kind of stuff. Sometimes a little power corrupts people absolutely. I've seen it in my life. You got something like this going on, it would be very easy to just focus completely on the temporal. He was never like that. He was never like that. It wasn't as a matter of fact, he just sat in his castle and was the Holy Roman Emperor. This man was constantly going back and forth throughout his realm, stomping out little fires, sometimes big fires. While he was Holy Roman Emperor, they had not one, but three wars with Poland. Wars. Again, not to mention these little skirmishes that are going on. He's dealing with worldly things, but he does it in a very, very pious way. He does it with concern for his people, particularly for the masses, which was not a thing back in the day. Most people showed favor to their gentry or to this group that benefited them and so on. He wanted to do well for everyone in his realm. So again, he was very pious, but we see something in his life. He actually used some of his authority to that adage, watch what you ask for, you just might get it. As he was moving on, advancing in his reign over the Holy Roman Empire, he started to pay a lot of attention to his faith. And he was kind of thinking that it might be, more burdensome to be the Holy Roman Emperor. He just wanted to be a monk. And they said, no, you can't be a monk, you're the Holy Roman Emperor. He was an astute guy. He was like, okay, I'm the Holy Roman Emperor, and everybody in this realm has to do what I said. So he went to the abbot of Verdun, and he said, I'm the Holy Roman Emperor. You are my subject, and I demand that you allow me to come into your order as a monk. The abbot was bound. He was a subject of the Holy Roman Emperor. And the abbot said, okay, you could be a monk. And he's excellent. So he does all his monk stuff, and the abbot turns the tables and says, now that you are a monk, you are completely subject to my authority as your abbot, and from henceforth, you will continue to be the Holy Roman Emperor. There you go. I mean, I can see the look on this guy's face. Like, what just happened? Well, what just happened was, not only had he been good and pious before, now he was bound under promises to continue to actually ratchet up the goodness and the piety that are going on. So, you see how the Holy Spirit works, even in this world. The Holy Spirit works to move people along, to advance in their faith, to walk solicitous. See, that's how little we use that word. I have trouble saying it. To walk solicitous with their God. He will help you out with this. And if you start to slip maybe a little bit, he will do things in your life that kind of keep you in line. This is what he does. From henceforth, he's even more pious than he was before, still had the same concerns, but even in a new, improved way. This is great. I mean, because this man, he had a lot of influence and a lot of little footnote, historical, little trivial note right here. Henry II was instrumental in having the filioque inserted into the Nicene Creed. A lot of debate going on with that whole thing at the time, 1021, when he did that. He had the filioque, again, he was one of the instrumental people, the movers and shakers to get it put in there. I mean, that's huge, you know, to convince the Pope to do something. But then again, when you're the Holy Roman Emperor, King of Italy, you got some leverage. So he used the leverage to do things like that. This is a reality of how the Holy Spirit will work. This is the reality of walking solicitous with our Lord. When we do it with concern and we show interest, we might not get everything all the time. We might not get how he works, but this is the reality of our life of faith. We're creatures. He's the creator. We're not always going to get it. But we need to be very, very grateful when he does something, because we don't want our Lord to look at us and go, depart from me, I never knew you. If you live a life of faith out here doing your own thing, that's not how we work. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.